straight. You understand? Stuntin', you understand? Without the son of man, I'm nothing, you understand? Bounce back and for sure get it poppin' like rubber bands. Never coulda, shoulda, but God had other plans. Look, Trent said it, Tommy, why me dustin' off my shoulders? We got so much faith, can turn a mountain to a boulder. See, pray a life poppin', feelin' like I'm getting bolder. He paid the cost, enemy lost, said I ain't going weak. Known to get it knockin', partner, can't nobody hush mine. Keep them blessings coming in like it's rush time. Take it there, me and gang, front line. Yeah, yup, one time for the go Jesus, go Savior, body clock, more than a. Need it when they see me fly, sound like Mr. Biddleman. Set apart squad, is you popping out or blending in? Hold on, what'd he say? I'ma praise the Lord forever in the day. Gotta let the way maker make a way, and only time I'm getting played is when the people press play, that's a fact. Hold on, what'd he say? I'ma praise the Lord forever in the day. Gotta let the way maker make a way, and only time I'm getting played is when the people press play. That's a fact.
Now back to the hits, back to the music.
Please believe that.
The unstoppable Wade Hampton. This is KAYTFM.
88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport.
K223BI.
98.9 Monroe, West Monroe.
K255BT.
100.1 Lake Charles.
K261EB. And KQJOFM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
I'm Stanley Mathis, Senior Pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're now listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is an independent outreach ministry of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church located at 2308 Houston Street, Alexandria, Louisiana. We're preaching and teaching the Word of God on a regular basis. Join us now as we enter into our service already in progress.
70, you need to be soundly knowing where your destiny is. You shouldn't be guessing. Your attitude should be different when you know there's less time ahead of you than days behind you. My brothers and sisters, Christ is speaking to our heart. And this morning, we want to continue to discover our Christian walk as believers. And how Jesus' desire for us is to look like him spiritually. We're so caught up in the color scheme. But Jesus said, I need you to look like me spiritually. How do we as believers develop our Christ-likeness? As we aspire to be like Christ, as we just aspire to Christ-likeness, is one of our heart's desires is to set our heart on the highest standards as believers, to mirror the characteristics or the character of love and holiness of Christ. For believers, the call to be like Christ is not merely a spiritual identity, but a central purpose birthed into the fabric of our Christian faith and our daily life. There's something about being a Christian that should make us look uniquely different than that of the world. Our pursuit shapes every aspect of our spiritual growth, ethic behavior, and our relationship with each other, reflecting the transformative power of God's grace at work in our life. There should be some difference in the way we are from the time we were birthed in Christ to where we are today. There should be some spiritual growing attitude that raises us up, even though we don't quite get it. But there should be some transformative power of the grace of God manifesting itself, working in our life and through our life so that we can have a relationship and a kinship with one another. Because when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see King Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. The victory is in Christ. It is not about our attributes. It is not about our academia. It is not about how brilliant we think we are. It is not about our fame, our fortune, or our money. It is about Christ. He paid it all. All to him. Christian, we've got to start acting just like Christ, who was a servant. He who knew no sin became our sin, surrendered and came down so that he could relate to us, so that one day when we get to heaven, you can't say, you don't know my story. He said, I know your story because I lived in a life just like you. So we've got to be Christ-like in the New Testament. The New Testament repeatedly urges followers or believers to pattern themselves after the Lord. The Apostle Paul encouraged us to be imitators of God as beloved children. Ephesians 5:1. As a child imitates his parents, so ought we as believers to imitate God. In love and declare, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Thank you. Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I, personal, who live, but Christ who lives in me. Ooh. Is Christ living in you? Is Christ living in every day of your life? Because we all get happy and shout and speak in tongue and dance, but what about Monday? We all say glory, hallelujah on Sunday, but what about Monday? What about those words that we don't say we use, but they slip? Is that Christ-like? I'm going to leave y'all alone. If we are followers, we must be like Christ. It has been said how true discipleship means allowing Christ's values, compassion, and humility to reshape our habits, words, and responses, especially in moments when our natural feeling pulls us towards impatience or self-centeredness. I'm giving you psychology now. Self-centeredness. To live like Christ is to adopt his position, not ours, his. His position of a servant's heart, to love even when it is difficult, and to forgive even when it costs us something. As we mature in faith, the Spirit works within us to produce Christ-like qualities, gentleness, patience, and kindness. We are called to reflect the light of Christ in a world longing for meaning, hope, and restoration. Christ came into this world to bring hope to the hopeless. He came into this world to redeem, to pay a price in which he did not owe. He came into a world and paid a price for your sins and transgressions and mine, to redeem us from the laws of sin and death. Christ came into this world to suffer and die for those who are unworthy, but he made us worthy because the blood of Jesus cleanses and frees us from all unrighteousness. He paid it all. My brothers and sisters, we are caught. This means also letting his character shine through our words, our actions, and our attitudes, becoming a beacon of grace where there is a discord and vessels of compassion, where there is a need. So, now that you got the introduction, in the 16th chapter of Matthew, we are told that Jesus withdrew to be alone with his disciples. As he was approaching the end of his earthly ministry, and there was much for him to teach and to reveal to his disciples. Jesus had a way of sharing things to his disciples as he was approaching the culmination of his earthly ministry. There was an urgency of what Jesus was about to say to his disciples because there was much for them to understand and know. There are times when pastors give you so much because there's an urgency because time is short. There's an urgency to get you filled up with God's word for what is about to take place. And if you are not equipped and if you are not prepared for what is about to come, how can you know what's about the end? And Christ is simply saying, I had to gather my men, my disciples, those who I was training to be like me for this particular task and this particular journey. It was a time for them to learn that he was building a church, which was an assembly of people who would confess him as the Messiah. Not everybody in the world confessed him as the Messiah. That's why we proclaim him as Lord. And the more we proclaim him, the more the enemy get baffled, the more the enemy dislike us. And the more we are throwing rocks and stones at, because the enemy does not want this gospel preached. And the closer we come to our destiny, the more urgency the hour is. And that question is alive today. How do we address Jesus? Do we address him as Lord and the Messiah? Is he Lord? Is he the Messiah King, the eternal Son of God? Because how we answer that question will determine our eternal destiny. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The historical text states in verse 24, Jesus said, if any man, that's a conjunction, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself. Why does the Lord ask us to deny ourselves? One main reason, Mike, is that we have to have a self to deny. Deny yourself. You got to get self out of the way. It ain't about us. It's about when we take us out of the equation, then it is a reflection of him. So we got to first deny self. We got to get our stuff out of the way. We got to get our holiness and righteousness out of the way. Because even our righteousness is like filthy. Get self out of the way. There are so many things that can hinder us from our relationship with the Lord. Our personalities, our attitudes, and our lifestyle. I did see y'all last night on Facebook. You know that, right? Here's the thing. God does want us to live and have fun in the world, but we're not of the world. Here's the thing. God is simply saying everything that he put here was designed for us to have ownership and dominion and power over. Where we mess up is when we abuse what God has given us. The overindulgence of anything can be sinful. The overindulgence of food can be sinful because it allows us to be bigger than what we need to be. And so when we go beyond the foundations and the rules, the regulations, and the laws of God, then we have violated those principles that God has laid down for us. God said, here are my rules and my regulation. And we can violate them at any time, but there's a price to be paid for violating his rules. But thank God for his grace and his mercy, even when we violate his rules and regulations. Because the way we are, we would be lost eternally had he not sent his son to pay a price for you and I. My brothers and sisters, there are times in our life, there are things that are part of our self-centeredness that get cranky, that get gripey, and sometimes get wimpy. How can we be like Christ when we are cranky and gripey? I don't believe Jesus had any of those adjectives associated with him. The only time I saw Jesus angry was